Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you is life. From you comes liberty and freedom. May we offer in obedience our lives, our fortune, our sacred honor, in firm reliance on your divine protection. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. June 2017, city of Shanghai in Henan Province, China. Police drag worshipers out of their building and beat them in the streets. Then the church is destroyed. March 2017 in Turkey. President Erdogan, rather dictator Erdogan, ordered the confiscation of all the churches in the city of Diyarbakir and declared them state property. Roman Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox churches seized. One of those churches over 1,700 years old. Yes, a church where Christ has been proclaimed since around 300 AD. Think about that. Christ proclaimed 1,700 plus years in this church, and it has now been confiscated. Armenian, Syriac, and Chaldean communities, along with others, are going to try to regain their churches through legal action against the expropriation, but also taking place in Turkey. June 2017, the director of religious affairs has seized the Mardan province Christian cemeteries, monasteries, and Syriac churches. There are many more news stories that I could share with you about what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are being persecuted day in and day out in places that are hostile to the Christian faith. And these places illustrate that freedom can only be found in places where the Christian ethic and Christian worldview is dominant. Only there, for Christians do not say to others, you must convert to the faith or we will take your house, take your place of worship, take your life. There is no freedom where the government is socialist or communist. There is no freedom where the government is Sharia based. The only place where there is freedom in the Middle East, where there is democracy, is Israel. And that is due to the worldview based on the Word of God. That small nation of Israel, where the United Nations habitually castigates and demonizes, is the only place where there's a democratically elected government where all faiths can worship freely. But you don't hear that truth in the news. Step back in time. Remember the ethos, the common ethics of the culture, the common values, the shared worldview that brought about these United States of America. The Christian faith planted by the Pilgrims, the Mayflower Compact, where the governing was first established with the consent of the governed. And that was nurtured and fanned to a great flame during the First Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards and his great-grandfather, Solomon Stoddard. And then you have George Whitefield, John and Charles Wesley from England. They brought about such a change here in the Americas that the number of people attending church grew exponentially. Lives that made Christian faith real in daily life. Their piety, their Christian piety, governed their deportment. And it was seen in the interactions and business dealings of everybody. Remember when a handshake was enough to do business? Sense of mission, along with the need for Christian ministers, established places of learning. The Ivy League schools were established by Christians to prepare Christian ministers. Hearts set free by Christ sought to be free, truly free. Abraham, here I am, Lord. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Abraham didn't argue. Abraham didn't negotiate. The very next morning, Abraham got up early and set out in obedience to the Lord God's command, taking enough supplies, including wood, to offer the sacrifice. Abraham set out with two servants and his only son, Isaac, whom he loved. Yes, Abraham had another son. That son's name was Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the son of God promised to Abraham that Abraham would have with Sarah. Ishmael was not that promised child. Isaac is the promised child. And you hear it right here in Genesis 22 from the perspective of God. God said in Genesis 22, Isaac is Abraham's only son. On the third day, the mountain comes into view, and the wood is placed on Isaac's back to carry. The fire and the knife for sacrifice, Abraham carried himself, and the two servants were told to wait and stay behind. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. The Lord will provide. Can you live your daily life with that kind of faith? The Lord will provide. Philadelphia was hot. The tempers sometime flared also. Men gathered to decide how to proceed. First there was the Stamp Act, then the Tea Act, then the Coercive Acts, more commonly called the Intolerable Acts, that closed Boston Harbor to merchant ships. There was military rule, quartering of soldiers, and immunity for British officials. How to proceed? Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Robert Livingston, and Roger Sherman were appointed to be a committee to draft a declaration in response to the Virginia resolution by Mr. Lee that we should be free. As you know, Thomas Jefferson did most of the work writing the declaration, but did you know he drew extensively from John Locke? Have you heard that name, John Locke's writings? John Locke was a Christian theologian and philosopher who even wrote commentaries upon the Bible. But the treatise on government that he wrote is what was drawn from greatly. A Christian and Christian theology is what Thomas Jefferson drew upon greatly. Voting and signing for the Declaration of Independence was signing your own death warranty. Yet they were willing to do so for freedom. Freedom perhaps not for themselves. They would most likely see death. But they were willing to do it so there would be freedom for the people they represented, for their children, for their posterity. Freedom. And this freedom because the Creator endowed with certain unalienable rights. These self-evident truths, all men are created equal. Those are amazing words, replete with Christian theology, thriving from the Christian worldview, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. And that means the living God, as revealed in Scripture. Appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Rectitude, the meaning of that word, is the virtue and righteousness of the cause. They're appealing to the supreme judge, that is the living God, for the righteousness and virtue of their cause. that cause of independence and freedom. And they conclude with, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Those words, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, were essential. The Continental Army was a group of misfits, poorly trained, ill-supplied, and they were going against the most powerful army in the world, the might and power of the British. Read the documents for yourself. Go to the original sources yourself. During that time spanning the gestation and birth of these United States, read for yourself how often they appealed to divine providence, the sovereignty of God, how often they were calls to prayers and trusting the Lord would provide. Don't rely entirely on what others have written about the founders. Go to the sources yourself. Go to their writing. Just as Johann von Staupitz said to Martin Luther as he sent him to Wittenberg to study, go read for yourself the Bible. And you know what came about for reading for himself? The just shall live by faith. Go to the sources for yourself. Can you imagine saying these words, Isaac, my son, the Lord will provide. How hard these words of a father to a son must have been. The nations that made up the peoples around Abraham and his family regularly sacrificed their children to their gods. Now Abraham's God is asking the same, his only child. Many sermons go in various directions, including Abraham believed God could resurrect Isaac. But that's not written in the scripture here. That would be speculation. What's written there is Abraham saying, the Lord will provide. Abraham simply had to trust. Trust as he did when he left his home and his family at the call of God, as recorded in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God was not specific with Abraham. Abraham had to follow and trust the Lord. That trust was built up over the years to give him the ability to walk in obedience with his son up that mountain with a knife, a fire, and Isaac carrying the wood. Trust to build an altar, trust to bind his only son, trust to raise the knife. With God walking by faith, trusting the Lord will provide is not easy, and it's not intended to be in many ways, so that your faith is not taken for granted. Instead, difficulties come, testings come. What do you do? Do you trust the Lord will provide a way? Provide what is necessary at the time when needed? Or do you turn away and don't dare to follow and obey? Divine providence, the living God is revealed through the Bible, acts through people. We ask God to do something, to act and move in our midst. And then too often we sit back and wait for God to do something. We watch with keen eyes, waiting for God to do something. And then we have the gall to ask, well, God, why aren't you doing your amazing wonders here? Up goes the cry, lifted as nothing happens. Have you ever stopped to consider the wonders are not happening precisely because of the inaction on our part? Inaction on your part. You ask God to move, and you sit still. Move, and the moving of God will be amazing. Abraham got up early the next morning, and he set out. Action. Abraham took Isaac to the region of Moriah, to the place God said. Abraham built the altar. It was not God who built the altar. Abraham built the altar. Abraham bound Isaac and placed him on the altar. Abraham raised the knife. Then, and only after all those things, Abraham did in obedience over several days to the living God, Abraham hears. Abraham. Abraham. Here I am, Lord. Do not lay your hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And it was then, and only then, did Abraham see the ram caught by his horns in the thicket. The Lord provided. 56 men put their signature to the declaration to bring freedom. But that is not all. They put all their resources into action to bring about the independence and free nation, where rights were understood as coming from God. Not the king, not the government. Rights come from God. Liberty comes from God. That is freedom. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. They were laying it all on the table. Their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor, everything they held most dear was on the table. And God moved through them. Abraham laid his most precious son on the altar, and then God moved through Abraham to bless all nations. Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 15 through 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abram from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. The promised blessing of all nations through Abraham is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who took our place, the one who took our sin on the cross, received the full penalty of our sin in his own body. He died for us. Abraham's obedience and willingness to offer, not withhold, willingness to offer the Lord God showed he feared God. He is a fearer of God, and through that we've all been blessed. Abraham revered God and gave all. The Hebrew word is Yahweh. Yahweh. Not quite Yahweh, but very close. Yahweh. And it means to fear, to reverence, to honor, respect, to hold in awe. It really means to acknowledge God truly is God and respond accordingly. Abraham is a fearer of God. Are you a fearer of God? Listen as I share a deep part of my heart with you. For as you know, for TNT and day camp and other times, I'm often up in the loft there running the computer and the sound system for times of worship and TNT day camp and other times. And from that vantage point up there, from that vantage point, I am so blessed to have the opportunity to watch what's going on down here. To watch the children at worship. Worshiping the Lord from their hearts. The joy, the love, the desire to worship the Lord with all of their hearts. And as they jump up and down singing, "I'm following Jesus, hey, hey, hey," with all of their energy too. No wonder you're tired. I mean, I'm up there, I get to see this. And as I'm seeing the children worship, they're worshiping the living God. I lift a deep, heartfelt prayer to the Lord God in the manner of Hannah, recorded in 1 Samuel. A prayer to the Lord, please provide and pay off the mortgage for the sake of these children who are worshiping you. For their sake, Father, bless faith in Christ. For the sake of the children who are mostly from the community around us, Lord, provide. For their sake, I pray for my soul. Because if we weren't doing what we're doing, where would these children be worshiping? Where would they be learning about Jesus? For their sake, Lord, provide. And you can join with me in that prayer petition too. And I also warn you and ask you to be ready for the answer to the Lord's, to the petition to the Lord. That answer may very well come through you. It'll come through you too. Lord, provide. And he'll answer it through you. Abraham walked by faith, offering to the Lord what he most loved. The founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor. Simply, they offered all, and the Lord provided. There are times of challenge, Valley Forge, but the Lord provided. Now I invite you to offer all, to give your best, to give your all. We saw during teen servant training and day camp what the Lord can do through us. And there is much more to come. The Lord Jesus Christ died to give you life. Will you give a cup of water to a little one? Be a part of something bigger than you. Be a part of this ministry through faith in Christ. Be all in. Give your best, your life, your resources, your sacred honor. And as Abraham experienced, and as the founding fathers experienced, you too will experience the Lord provides. The Lord provides. Amen.